Golf Show, Brent Gunning here. That's it. I'm here. I got Sam McKee on the line with me. He is taking his talents not to South Beach like LeBron James, but to Sauble Beach up in Owen Sound. Sammy McKee, how you doing, bud? Oh, he dropped. Okay, I thought he had him there. I thought he would have loved my little Sauble Beach reference, or I don't know. Maybe I screwed up the beaches and I got it all wrong. Maybe it's Cobble Beach. I should have mentioned there. We'll talk to Sammy McKee. He is live and on location in Owen Sound this weekend. We also will talk to our man, Adam Stanley, who is live and on location in Rochester, New York, taking in the playing of this year's PGA Championship at Oak Hills. And first things first, I don't know about all of you out there. I have stumbled so many times on Oak Hills this week. It reminds me of Oakmont. The RBC Canadian Open this year will be played at Oakdale. Obviously, a lot of oaks in the world of golf, but I have to constantly remind myself what this place is called. And I have a feeling I'm going to need to know the name of it because I like the look of this course a lot. We now have the man in Owen Sound, Sammy McKee. Sammy, how you doing, bud?
Oh, not bad, Gunner. How you doing, buddy? I'm feeling pretty guilty this morning. If anyone's listening that knows me, or anyone that's not listening that doesn't know me, I forgot my backpack with all my work stuff in it. So I didn't bring my computer. I didn't bring my microphone. Didn't bring my headphones. And also in that bag were my toiletries, my contacts, my toothbrush, every single thing that I needed basically for the entire weekend up in Owen Sound. I completely just left it. Up and left it. So I'm calling you over the phone. I'm upset to be doing this on a major weekend, but it's nice to talk to you, Gunner. Is the weather horrible there too? Because here in Owen Sound, it feels like winter.
Yeah, it's not great. I wouldn't say it's quite feeling like winter. Now, you know me, I'm basically Kawhi Leonard now. I'm basically garage to garage when I drag my butt into studio now. So the most I can give you on what the weather was like outside is that I felt a raindrop when I walked to my car, and it said 15 on my dash when I was driving in. But it's cold. Like, it's not one of those feels like 15 days. It's a very overcast, a lot of rain, a lot of people who had visions of tea times, maybe feeling way less confident about that because rain seems to have stopped now, but it was pummeling me on my drive in.
Can we just talk about the May long weekend in general in Canada and Ontario? Like, why? Like, this is such a great golf weekend, right? Like, I came up to Owen Sound to play. I'm playing three rounds. I'm playing later this afternoon. I'm playing Sunday morning and Monday morning with my family, with some friends, and it's never good weather. Mm-hmm. Like, people try to do whatever they want to do outside. It's the start of summer kind of thing. You know, it's like the first weekend.
Yep.
And it's always crappy. Why is that? That's like an unwritten Murphy's Law rule when it comes to Ontario, at least. It's always freezing cold and raining on the May long weekend in Canada and in Ontario. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's very much a Murphy's Law situation, and you know, this will dovetail into a topic we won't touch on, and you do not want to hear my thoughts on. But it's because we just can't have nice things with anything I particularly care about. That's why.
The weather's been great.
Yeah, I know, but this is when you needed it to be
great.
This is when you needed it. Yeah, you're right. Very much a Murphy's Law situation. My understanding is at least Vladdy Guerrero Jr. Will be playing in all the games he's available to this weekend, so we don't have to have any of those problems going forward.
Monday? Are we sure? Are you sure he doesn't want to rest that knee? I've been talking about a little bit.
I would. Oh God, what a tale that would be. But that's a story for a different program there. Okay. So I don't know where you want to start with this. Your boy, the thick golfer, is back. We got a Canadian with the share of the lead. We've got a new major venue that we're getting acclimatized to. There are many different, in my opinion, lead stories here. You're the producer of the show. Where should we start?
I forget that I am the producer of the show sometimes.
It's because you've outsourced all the descriptions of the pod to me, so you're really just like producer in name only, because you just say, like, am I going to book Stanley this week? Yeah.
I'm basically, I'm Paul Beeson. I'm producer, what is the word? I'm producer.
Emeritus. Yeah. Emeritus, yeah.
Emeritus. Yeah.
So, well, we do have a host emeritus. Like, Scott Metcalf is host emeritus on this show. True. Anytime he wants, he could just grab the reins. So it's very fitting that that you'd have that producer cred as well.
I think we probably have to start with the Canadian contingent, right?
I think so. We got a guy sharing the lead. We got another two more in the top 10 and Pendy and Svensson. You got Connors in the final pair. Yeah, I think that's where we got to start. I mean, I'll kick us off there. Corey Connors, this is kind of what was promised with him, right? This was always, he was always supposed to be at the lead of the pack. And then it felt like everyone else kind of went back and forth of trading it off. And Taylor would grab a win and Mac Hughes would grab a win and Svensson would have a good week. And it felt like Connors had actually, I wouldn't say be lapped, because I still think by talent and by world ranking, he was pretty clearly the best Canadian. But it did feel like he had kind of maybe slipped a little bit down the kind of Canadian pecking order. There, this is a guy who's always in the mix at the Masters. Really nice to see him do it at another event. And I think the thing that's most encouraging about it is it's not unexpected. I mean, the putter is what it is. You could say that about a lot of guys in major golf, but this is a guy who can stripe it. It's a big boy golf course. It makes sense that he's maybe not leading or tied for the lead, but it makes sense that he's in the mix.
No, and this is a massive advantage for him. He is an elite all world ball striker, Gunner. And this is a course where if you can do that, you can contend. And he was rolling in some putts yesterday, but I just thought that he was solid, capital S solid. You know, he's just, you know, I know he's making birdies, but he's making up and he's getting pars in. He's making good putts. Like, I'm encouraged from what I've seen from him. Like, going into a weekend in a major championship when you're paired with Scottie Scheffler in the final pairing, this is something where we've all been kind of critical of Corey in terms of, can he hold up? Can the putter hold up? That's what they're always concerned with him is, like, you know, the putting. If he was even a top 50 putter in the world, he'd probably be a two-time major winner by now. The guy, his putting is a massive issue for him. And if he can keep the putter somewhat warm or somewhat average for the rest of this week with the way he strikes the ball, he's a big-time threat, Gunner. So I'll be interested to see how it holds up. Final pair, like I said, with Scottie Scheffler going into a weekend. It's a tough spot to be. You know, it's tough on the mind. Probably the whole crowd, you think, would be probably rooting for Scottie, although I saw that there was a good Canadian contingent down there.
Yep.
It's going to be really interesting to see. And you know what? Pendy's not out of it. Svensson, you know, Pendy absolutely pounds the ball. Mm-hmm. He's a great ball striker himself. Svensson, he's been playing great this year. Nice to see Adam Hadwin make the cut. I think he finished plus three. So.
Yep.
It's really, really interesting for Canadian golf, but specifically Corey Connors. It's going to be so fun to watch this weekend to see how he holds up. Like, this has the potential to be a really, really big moment for Canadian golf if he can hold up and even be in the mix on Sunday. It's a really, really big time here for him. I'm hoping that he holds it together because, man, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, we've had little flirtations with it, right? What was it, two U.S. Opens ago? Mac Hughes was right there, right? And then the ball got stuck.
Yeah,
the ball got stuck in the tree. Just another thing that I'll never stop thinking about for the rest of my life. And I'm not even Mac Hughes. I can only imagine how he feels about it. Also, just putting this out there, I don't know if you saw it, but Sky Sports put out this great video of basically just like a little walk and talk on the range with Connors, but it wasn't on the range. It just had him lashing five woods out of the thick rough in a practice round. So that's just right up my alley. So if you want to go check that out, you should do that.
I got to see that.
Yeah.
He is pure with a capital P, man. Like, the way he's striking the ball right now, you know, as our boy Zinger would say, it's straighter than train smoke.
Yeah, God, I love Zinger. He's so good. Just so the other part about it, looking at the leaderboard is, and again, like, you know, everything we said about Corey Connors is true. But if you're Scottie Scheffler, you got to be licking your chops looking at this board, you think, right? Because you and again, like, I don't think Connors is going to necessarily melt, but that's entirely in the cards. We've seen this movie from Victor Hovland before. You got Bryson and Brooks, who, you know, Bryson's a little out of the wilderness. We could talk about him here. Koepka has a little bit of a track record there, but there is not the horse that looks like they're going to come chase you down unless Bryson is all of a sudden back. Like, if you're Scheffler, weird thing to say about a guy who is tied with two other golfers and there are major winners just two shots back, but I feel like he's got to feel like he is in an awesome position heading into this weekend just based on who's behind him.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, Gunner, just because he has the major championship rep of winning at the Masters. He's been in the mix at so many of these. He's won so many non-majors even this season. I really do think that, you know, I haven't looked at the books this morning, but he has to be a prohibitive favorite heading into this weekend.
Plus 160 is what I see in front
of
me right now.
I mean, if you make that bet, you are a dumb person. That is a horrible bet. Like, wait for him to make a couple bogeys, then maybe jump on that.
Yeah.
That's just an insane number. But that just shows you what they're thinking about him. Like, you nailed it. I think a lot of the guys around him are prone to not, you know, coming through in the clutch. And he has shown that he can do it. I am fascinated by, you know, I think I'm just fascinated in general, leaderboard Gunner.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an interesting mix of guys at the top here. Like, having, you mentioned Bryson there, and you know my thoughts on Bryson. I was a big fan of his game. I was a big fan of everything that he, you know, the one-length irons that I use now. I just sort of the thought process that he has between the game, how far he hits the ball. I loved everything about his game, but then he just disappeared. He was gone off the face of the earth. Like, he was hurt, then he went to LIV. He was, you know, not contending on LIV. Like, I am in a golf pool with, you know, I think 15 or 16 guys where you pick a bunch of different players. I always used to pick Bryson. The thought didn't even cross my mind, Gunner, to pick Bryson. Like, I was never even like, you know what, maybe I'll take a shot on Bryson. I never even considered it. And here he is, and he looks pretty good. Like, he's still pounding the ball. His, you know, his putting is still looks really weird. But, like, I've been impressed with what I've seen from him. I am really fascinated by this leaderboard, but I can see what you're saying. That Scheffler, you know, he, and we can talk about what he said before the Masters and what he was talking to about his wife, he really looks like he should win it, and that might play into him feeling pressure too, right? It can go the other way.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Bryson thing is wild. I mean, I'm going to talk to Stanley here in the back half of the show. I had him on the morning show here in Toronto on Thursday morning, and me and him talked about him like he was deceased. Forget not going to compete. We just talked about him like, wow, what a life he led. What a crazy character. We were talking about him like he was old Tom Morris. And lo and behold, here he is. Here he is, T4. We have to talk about it. This is going to be, I think, one of the most, there'll be one or two actual funny moments that come out of it, but one of the most irritating parts of golf Twitter and watching this all today is that Bryson and Brooks are paired up. This is like the thing we always wanted forever, and I could not want something less. What do you make of the fact that they're actually paired up? Anything to you?
Well, I mean, if this was 2019, maybe, yeah. It'd be exciting. Right? Like, they've been on LIV together for a year and a half. Like, I'm pretty sure they're fine.
Yeah.
Okay. They're probably not like the biggest fans of each other, obviously. Like, we know what happened in that interview where he rolled his eyes so hard they almost went out the back of his head. But, like, do you really, what do you think is going to happen?
Nothing.
There's two guys who are going to play golf.
Yep.
Like, literally nothing is going to happen at all. So, I mean, that would be my final thoughts on it. Like, I think it's super compelling to have those two guys in the mix on their own. Like, I'm really impressed with what I've seen from Brooks. I didn't expect this from Brooks. Like, we talked about,
yep, same.
I think last week, or we talked about maybe with Russick when we were on, yeah, Calgary, that I didn't think that the Koepka could follow up his performance at the Masters, because, you know, he's just so familiar with that course. He plays so well at Augusta. And this, as we've seen so far, is a completely different test than Augusta. Like, this is a grind of a golf course with thick rough and long par fours, whatever. And I've just been impressed from what I've seen from him to be in the mix. How many guys are even under par?
Yeah.
Six,
it's,
seven?
It's, yeah, it is. It's 10 guys. Yeah. 10 guys under
10
par.
10 guys. Yeah. So, like, to be one of the 10 guys in a big golf tournament that are under par is incredibly impressive. And to have two LIV guys there, I'm surprised by this. I was not anticipating them doing as well. Well, I guess those two guys doing as well as they are at Oak Hill.
So I guess the thing about this is how many, and we'll see how the weekend goes. Obviously, the weekend can change your opinion on this one way or another. And I don't know how I feel about it, is how many more of these, and Bryson, I think, is a little bit different because he felt more truly lost. And you had the moment with Brooks at the Masters. Let's say he has another solid weekend and he doesn't win, but it's another top five. Are you already all the way back to, okay, it's major season, which means it's Brooks season. Like, is that all you need to see, is a couple of these in a row? Like, what would a solid weekend where he doesn't win do for your expectations for him heading into the U.S. Open?
I think they would, you know, I would be more inclined to put a couple bucks on Brooks.
Yeah.
I think I'm closer to, you know, believing in major championship Brooks again. Like, because we've talked about it, like I said just before, that, you know, I was just thought that he was good at Augusta like he always is, and heading into these other, you know, behemoth golf courses where it's going to be way different conditions and harder conditions, frankly, I thought that it was going to be a completely different thing, different test, because you're not playing that sort of kind of golf on LIV. But, man, he's proved it so far. And if he, you know, contends, finishes top five, you know, is in the mix, potentially makes it to a to a final pairing on Sunday or something, you have to take him seriously, no?
Yeah, no, totally. I'm with you there. I don't know what you've thought about the major venue. This isn't a new one. We remember Duffner winning here, but there's been so many changes since all then. Always fun when it's like, you know, much like we love a new golfer injecting themselves onto the scene, I love a new major venue doing the same. It just looks like a massive ballpark. Normally the thick rough is something I roll my eyes at, but I feel like they have enough of the kind of tight lie runoff areas as well. Like there was the one par three that they changed, or they removed the pond to make it a super nippy chipping area off to the right. I love the drivable par four, that it's not nothing but fairway leading up. There is a massive wall of rough, so you got to get it there if you want to get it there. I don't know about your impressions of it, but I've really liked Oak Hills as a venue. I'm happy they have mixed it in for us here.
Yeah, the close there is stupid hard, right? That 17th is insane.
Yeah.
But the one that I keep coming back to, and they've been talking a bunch in the broadcast, is that sixth hole. Like, I get being hard, right? Like, I know it's a major championship venue, but over 500 yards, that can't, like, it's a par four. Like, that's just, I think it's a little much.
Yeah, it is. For sure. It is a tough track or a tough hole. And just pulling it up because I wanted to have the aerial in front of me. As I Google Oak Hills six hole, our boy John McCarthy, he just has a piece in the Sun titled Hole Number Six at Oak Hill, Where Good Rounds Go to Die. So yeah, exactly what you were saying there.
Well, I loved the way they were talking about it on the broadcast, where guys were bogeying it and they'd be like, oh, what a par. Right? Like,
yeah.
Like, if you make a bogey there, you're not giving back strokes to the field. Like, people are like, oh my God, I made it out there with a five. Like, thank God. It's so hard. Like, I don't remember watching a golf tournament, Gunner, and having it, like, a hole being that hard. Like, I guess you think of five at Augusta, right, yeah, as a real tough one, or you think of 11 at Augusta as a really hard one.
15 now.
Yeah, you think of, I'm trying to think of other major championship venues.
What, postage stamp think, at Troon, like that's, yeah, a part three different, I know, but yeah.
I'm trying to think of, there's the one at Pebble that's stupid hard. Is it 9 at Pebble or 10 at Pebble? There's one at Pebble that's really hard. Like, you think of these, but like watching every weekend, I can't remember a hole playing that hard. It's insane how, I get that it's a major championship, but like, still got to be fair, right?
Yeah, you and I have this debate all the time. We do it every time Augusta makes any changes. I don't have an issue with it one way or another. Like, if I'm going to watch guys get kicked in the mouth and it's going to be fair for the whole field, I don't really have an issue with it. I mean, I see your point. You'd like to see, I guess it's more exciting seeing guys make good shots than struggle to make okay ones. But I kind of like the variety there of having it be like, okay, yeah, time to steal your medal here, because this isn't a hard hole. This is like the hardest hole you'll ever have to deal with. So I don't get too worked up about it one way or another. I don't have an issue with it, but I see what you're saying. I do like the idea of there being a hard hole that is really going to be okay. The round can go completely off the rails here. So I kind of like it. Anything else on Bryson before we kind of move on there from you? I mean, what are you expecting from him this weekend? I could see 77, 77. I could see 66, 66. I could be talked into either for him. I don't know if it's going to, and I'll get out in front of this. I don't know if it's going to be the live thing that undoes him. I think it's going to be the being back in competitive golf, and not for four rounds, but just in the thick of it. You know, you'll roll your eyes a little at me saying this, but his major was one of these COVID majors with no fans around. It's just a different element that he's not used to. So I don't know what you're expecting from him. I honestly have no clue.
Well, we should have bet on him before the tournament, because all the comparisons of this course were to Wingfoot, right?
Yeah, we really should have.
It was a big dumbo move. What was he, 90-1, 100-1,
probably something like that. Yeah,
no, that was not smart. I think he can hold in there. He's got the power to do it, and I think that, you know, after watching two full days of golf at this course, Gunner, having power is pretty important. And if you look at the guys that are kind of at the top of the leaderboard there, there are guys that absolutely bomb the ball. Hovland,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Kepler, Connors, the Shambaugh, like Koepka. I know Rosie's a little bit more of a precision guy, but Pendrith. You know, these guys are all bombers. So I think he can stand in there if he can keep the driver on plane on the earth, which, you know, and sometimes it goes a little squirrely for him, as we know. I think he can stay in there. I'm expecting him to be floating around this weekend. I really am.
I think the atmosphere surrounding that group will have a massive implication one way or another. I think if it's a pretty ho-hum, okay, it's Major Sunday, everybody's happy, but if it turns into kind of more of a waste management crowd and there are the Brooksies getting yelled at him, I could see a world where that undoes him. But if it just in terms of the game, I'm with you. I think he has the game to do it for sure.
So much has happened in golf, I completely forgot about that part of it. Brooksy. Or we'll call him Brooksy.
And the tour had to put out a statement effectively saying that they will ban you for life if you call him Brooksy, which is just we have a lot of I'm not Mr. Society is too soft in 2023. Like, I'm really not that guy. Oh boy, that was a tough look for all involved. If you're not allowed to call this guy a different name because it's just too hard on him emotionally. All right, a couple
of that part of my take that started that.
Yeah,
they had Brooks.
Yeah, that's their guy. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's incredible. Yeah, like they could call you like a lot of worse things than Brooksy.
I'd venture to believe he has been called a lot worse things than Brooksy. Probably to his face. Yeah. So always fun there. All right, couple other things I wanted to touch on. I don't know. I'll let you kind of dealer's choice here. I got three more I wanted to hit on.
Right.
McIlroy's up and down start. The big boys who had rough weeks, so Finau, Spieth, JT, Xander, Rahm, all made it to the weekend, but barely. And then I don't know if you want to talk about Tom Kim taking a mud bath in the middle of his round. I don't know if you saw
that. I would like just to say I love the mud bath.
Yes.
I was dying at the mud bath.
Hilarious.
The fact that he knew he was a meme when he was talking to people afterward. Like, the mud bath is so funny, and it's a meme in one of my group chats now with the boys. Somebody sent it, like, looking at my golf pool this weekend, and it's just him, you know, just covered in mud. It's a great meme. I love the mud meme. I'm all in on that. So I don't have much more to say on that, but Tom Kim is a superstar in the making, and having him be, like, self-aware and, like, be able to have a laugh about it is super important. Love me some muddy Tom Kim.
Our sweet President's Cup Prince is what I will refer to him from now on. I was already in the tank for him when he just kind of put the internationals on his back and was like, don't worry, no Cam Smith, no problem. I got this, boys. The fact that he was so good-natured about it. And you want to talk about cold? Can you imagine how it must have felt taking a dunk in the creek that he did there? Coldest a human's ever been on a golf course, other than that time you and our buddy Eric Prime got caught in a torrential downstorm. Okay. In terms of the other ones I wanted to touch on, big boys rough weekends, Finau, Spieth, JT, Xander, Rahm. I won't ask you who's the least surprising of that group, because I know you're actually shocked Xander was able to make it to the weekend. But of that group, I think the one I'm most surprised by was Finau. You know, JT, there was a little buzz heading into him, but he's had such an up and down year. Finau had the win. He just seemed to be really kind of in a good place mojo-wise and with his game. Out of that group, I mean, Rahm as well obviously goes without saying, but yeah, it's Rahm and Finau for me that surprised me the most. The other guys, I kind of could have seen either or coming.
Yeah, I mean, Rahm is so sick at golf. What did he shoot on Thursday? Is he like 76, 77?
Yeah, let me pull it up here.
And then he just comes back and shoots a 68 and makes the cut and, like, is so far from out of this, Gunner.
Yeah, 76, 68.
Yeah, like, that's, you know, to have the mental ability to just shrug off shooting a 76 and being that far back, like, that's what makes these guys so elite. Is just be able to go out the next day and be like, completely forget that. Like, it's all relative, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, him shooting a 76 is like me probably shooting a 91. Like, he's just like, oh, my God.
Oh, did that happen recently?
Oh, yeah, it happened yesterday. I'm burying the lead here. I suck at golf now. But I think, like, you know, what's the leader at? Five?
Five, yeah.
Rahm is not out of this. Like, you know, it's moving day to day. If he gets up to... Like, if he goes out there and shoots another 68, gets it to even, gets it to minus one, Scottie Scheffler comes back a little bit. Like, I would not – if you are a gambling person, you know, who – neither of us would ever do anything like that. They might go take a look at the number on John Rahm right now. Just have a look. I wouldn't put wouldn't put the house on it, but a couple shekels wouldn't hurt.
Okay.
Maybe you could make a little comeback this weekend. Yeah. Like that, Gunnar?
I like that you're trying to talk yourself into John Rahm's going to win the career Grand Slam this year that it's happening. I'm not saying that's impossible.
I forgot even said that.
Yeah. I'm not saying that can't happen, but I'm saying it's not going to. John Rahm has the game that if all the cards align and he is able to go out and post a number and pretty much every big boy to a man stubs their toe, comes back to earth a little bit, and it's within two or three heading into the final round, 1,000%. It's just you need a lot of guys to stub their toe. And look, we talked about it. Bryson, Brooks, God love Corey Connors and Victor Hovland, but they could easily do it. It's not like it's impossible to happen. And then again, I like to mention this more than anyone else. Scotty Scheffler, he is always dying to give these things away because he was crying and shaking in the kitchen the morning of the Masters telling his wife that he couldn't do it. And he managed to.
He's like the least killer we've ever had.
He might.
Like everyone talks like he's this like steely guy that's like puts it away, and he has. But he's also super shaky at the same time. Like, it's very, like, it's kind of awesome to have him like this because it's a little bit unpredictable.
Very unpredictable.
He can go into absolute killer mode where, like, but if he has to have a couple stroke lead to kind of go into that mode. He's a very interesting guy to follow. And God, I just love having him in the final pairing because he is the best to watch play golf. He is so interesting, the way he swings it, the way he shapes the ball. I love watching Scottie Scheffler play. I know he's about as interesting as this plant I'm looking at my parents' house, but like so fun to watch play golf.
I don't know that plant might have might have like a leaf on it or something. That could actually be interesting. I don't know. That sounds too exciting.
They have a green thumb boy, and they got plants.
Yeah, like, so
they,
that's too exciting for Scheffler. If you're looking at some white bread, then yes, you better believe that's him there. And I'm coaching up my young son. He's got the Scheffler feet going. We're trying to keep him a little. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there.
Gunner,
Sammy, anything else? Yeah.
I know I got to go, but I got to give – I did this yesterday on Real Kipper and Born, but it's more golf-related here. I got to give a shout-out to our close personal friend, Gord Stellick, one of the greatest guys in the world.
Agreed.
We both worked with him very closely over the past 4 or 5 years. Honestly, one of the nicest guys in the world. I was in the newsroom at Sportsnet on Thursday afternoon. He said, "Oh, Sammy, you're a lefty." He's like, "I didn't know you were a lefty." He's like, "I got this putter. I wanted a Leafs alumni event. I'll bring it in for you tomorrow." I text him to remind him to bring it in. He brings it in. It's a brand new Scotty Cameron putter. And Gord Stellick gives me the Scotty Cameron. He says, "Here you go. I'm glad it's going to somebody who's going to appreciate it and use it." And he gave me the Scotty Cameron. So I don't even really know what to say. It's one of the nicest gestures anyone's ever had for me. So, there you go.
That's not taking an ounce away from Stellick and the nice man that he is. That is also just a, like, I've been in power circles for a long time and I can just give away a Scotty Cameron that. What an awesome move by him. You text me that. I was floored. We love Stellick. We love the Leafs. We'll leave that alone for now. And we love doing the golf show. Sammy, have fun in the sound. Hit him straight. Hopefully AMAC takes you by a couple of strokes today. I know you don't want to hear that, but I want to hear it.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
There he goes. Sammy McKee, correspondent from Owen Sound, Northern Ontario, or at least north of Toronto, golf correspondent for us. We're going to head a little more south to Rochester, New York. My man, Adam Stanley, is on the scene. I'm going to ask him if he has found the Tom Kim mud pit. I'm going to ask him what's going on with Corey Connors. And we'll set the scene for the weekend. It's moving day at the PGA Championship. Keep on listening. It's the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Golf Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Check it out wherever you get your pods, including right now, if you're listening via podcast, joined by my bud Sam McKee in the first segment of the show. He's on a little vacay this weekend. I don't know, major championship vacay. Interesting. No, he's up in the sound. He called in, and we're going to talk to somebody on scene in Rochester in just a second here. Our man Adam Stanley is on location. But just letting you know where we sit as we get started in the third round here. Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, and Victor Hovland share a two-shot lead. Connors and Scheffler, they are the last group out at 250 today. We love, love, love a Canadian in the final pair of a major. It's been a long time since it's happened. Actually, I recall correctly if Justin Ray, who is the stats whiz for all things golf, said the last time this happened in a major on a Saturday, pretty good major, 2003 Masters. Mike, we're winning. We now bring in a guy who I'm sure has very fond memories of that Masters win and will have fond memories of this PGA Championship because he's there on the scene. My pal and yours, Adam Stanley. Stanley, how's it going, bud?
Very good morning. The Canadians, they're not teeing off until the hour or two, so I really don't know what I'm supposed to do with myself all morning long, Saturday at a major, until we get to the middle of the afternoon, but it's a good problem to have, for sure.
I think a Tom Kim mud bath is in order. That's the hot spa treatment in Rochester. My understanding is the best date night you could offer anybody in Rochester is Tom Kim mud bath followed by garbage plate for dinner. True or false?
Sure. If that's what hits here in Rochester, I think that's exactly
you haven't subjected yourself to one, have you? A garbage plate?
No, but no. It just seems to be almost one of these like glutton for punishment kind of situations
so.
Where the people who are doing it this week are kind of like, oh, I gotta try one,
gotta have one,
just gotta see what it's about. But I'm a little bit outside of the like downtown core where the like actual Rochester garbage plate hero plate actually exists. So I'm not too sure how much. The Microtel by Wyndham in Monroe County, about 20 minutes outside of the city, actually has to offer the garbage plates, but we'll see as the weekend goes on.
All right, we shall see. Let's not bury the lead. A Canadian will tee off in the final round of a major. We always love that. Corey Connors, you know, I don't think I won't say nobody's surprised because, you know, this is not a guy who when you're picking who will be in the final pair heading into a weekend that he comes to first of mind. But when you look at his game, yeah, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. It is a big, big ballpark that requires a big, burly man who can hit it well. And boy, that sounds a lot like Corey Connors to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think you and I have talked, you know, ad nauseum about when Corey Connors gets in the mix. There's a singular reason for that, and this guy is, you know, the ball striking king, but the putting has held him back. I mean, he's 134th on the PGA Tour in strokes gained putting this year, and yet this week he's fifth. So it's an obvious effort that he's been putting in on the putting green that has totally changed, you know, his results. This is a guy who finished in the top 10 at the Wells Fargo a couple weeks ago. Quail Hollow, a big burly venue, a major championship venue, had the President's Cup there last fall. And now here we are at another major championship venue where Corey Connors is playing good golf because he's putting it really, really well. You know, he's just ball striking his way around this place. That should come as no surprise. Even if he gets in trouble, he's having some nice scrambling efforts. But I mean, this guy missed, and I wrote about this in my story yesterday, he missed a 6-footer for birdie. He missed a 7-footer for birdie, and he missed an 8-footer for birdie throughout his round on Friday. So, yes, he's tied for the lead. Yes, he's playing extremely well, and yes, he's putting well too. But he could be much deeper than just 5-under, and I think that that's got to be really, really good for his confidence heading into the weekend.
It's the old Tiger Woods. It's like the 68's the worst he could have shot out there.
Yeah.
I mean, man, he had some huge par saves as well. And, you know, I think sometimes we get so bogged down in, you know, a big eagle and how it can swing around or a couple of birds in a row. But we know, especially just looking at the way the leaderboard is shaking out in terms of where guys sit, that's what's going to win this tournament for people, right? Is, yeah, somebody's going to make a big bird that we'll all remember on the weekend, but it feels like it's going to be a story of par saves. And I just say that just because of where the number is at 5-under. You're not going to be able to go run away and win this thing strictly playing offense. It feels like there's going to be a lot of defense for whoever's involved here.
Yeah, and I think that some of those clutch par saves are going to be just as dramatic as, you know, maybe a big birdie or an eagle in some other events that you do have week to week on the PGA Tour. And I think that from a sort of mental hurdle perspective is a big one for a lot of these guys, just to know that, you know, if I make a bogey, it's not the end of the world because this is not a putting contest this week. This is not a shootout. You know, this is just the ultimate test of survival. And this is something we usually say about U.S. Opens, but but Oak Hill is certainly set up in that manner. And just if you do make a bogey, like take number 6, for example, here at Oak Hill.
Yeah.
That hole played almost a full stroke over par on average yesterday. It's a par four. It played to like 4.8, maybe even 4.9 strokes on average. So if you're going through that hole, and Corey made a par there, he had a putt for birdie, you're gaining at least a half shot on the field by just making par on a hole like that. And there's probably a handful of those at Oak Hill, just the way that it's been set up. So, tee to green, Corey Connors is obviously and always has been super solid. The putting's been the big difference for him so far this week. And, now it's just a matter of keeping it rolling and embracing the position that he's found himself in, because of course the two guys that he's tied with, Victor Hovland and world number two Scotty Scheffler, have kind of been there, done that, especially in the case of Scheffler. And there's our boy Corey Connors right there in the mix.
Yeah, it is awesome to see. The members must be loving that, the whole playing a full stroke over. Maybe you should have just played it as a par five like we do. You think you're so good out there, PGA Tour. I can imagine there's a few people taking some mental victory laps at the very least there. In terms of other big storylines, I'm shocked. Again, you and I talked about this guy like he was deceased on the Fan Morning Show Thursday morning. Bryson DeChambeau back from the dead, 66 in round one, 71 in round two. I guess I'll posit it to you this way. How shocked are you that this is where we are?
Pretty shocked. Yes, we did talk about this a couple of days ago, and we just were like, man, this guy's kind of got to go. we're kind of done with it. Certainly I am kind of done with the shtick that is Bryson DeChambeau. But then you realize, like, I think he's just doing things in a manner in which we're not used to being engaged with. I mean, Kevin Van Valkenburg from No Laying Up, wrote a really, really good piece about
how
there's that. And for obviously the listeners that aren't as tuned in, I mean, of course, there's a bunch of kids, you know, there's teenagers, preteens who are obsessed with Bryson DeChambeau because they're trending towards, you know, that YouTube golfer style thing. So, you know, all those influencers that have the million followers and et cetera, like Bryson to them is one of them. And I think that there's still like, there's this engagement with Bryson, the person, with Bryson, the golfer. And yeah, I mean, he was the first to admit, it should come as no surprise that you and I pre-tournament talked about, you know, Bryson being like, oh my gosh, where has this guy been? What is he doing? And then after the 66, he was the first to admit, like, yeah, I had a lot of problems. Turned out I was allergic to dairy, to wheat, to gluten, to all these sorts of things. I was
Common
totally
sense?
Doing the wrong.
No, yeah, okay, wrong that's just thing. Me. Sorry. Okay.
I was doing the wrong thing to my body on all fronts, and now he's kind of found a bit of an equilibrium with respect to working out and to diet. And, he had that wrist injury and he had surgery on that. He's come back from that. His father passed away, so he's going through that. So, yeah, there was plenty of reasons for us pre-tournament to be like, man, this guy's nowhere to be found, and it makes total sense. But then, you know, he comes back and he plays well and he admits, you know, the laundry list of things that he was going through. And then you realize that he's come out on the other side and you think, oh, okay, he's in the mix. It's fine. We get it.
Yeah, I think what it all boils down to for me, what I expect for him today, is just how much of a cauldron is it around him? It's not just that he's finally in the mix at a major again. And again, I think sometimes people are too quick to put an asterisk on these things. But let's not forget, the one major he did win was without fans, or at least a lot of them in attendance at Wingfoot. And I'm really curious to see how he responds to it today. The fact that he's paired up with Koepka, I don't know how much Brooksy stuff we'll hear, all of that. I think I'm going to know a lot about Bryson and how I expect him to fare this weekend, just kind of going off of body language. Forget how he plays the first couple holes of this. I want to see how he responds to that. What do you expect from the crowd, and how much do you think that can kind of impact Bryson one way or another?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like the feisty New York City crowd that we would see at like Bethpage Black. This is, you know, Western New York, Rochester crowd. They're not New York City people. They're Western New Yorkers. They're very proud. They're blue collar. There's, you know, there's a long list of things that you can describe these people as, and certainly being New Yorkers isn't exactly one of them. So I don't think that we're going to see the juice maybe that we would have seen, you know, if this was a Bethpage Black or another golf course that was closer to New York City proper. But what we will see is a group of intelligent golf fans who absolutely 1,000,000% know that Bryson DeChambeau being paired with Brooks Koepka is something. What that something may be certainly remains to be seen, and as the round goes on. But you're absolutely right. You know, Bryson kind of being under fire, if you will, being kind of firmly in the spot where I don't know if the crowd is going to be on his side, if they're going to be on Brooks' side, if they're just going to be enjoying the drama that's going to unfold in front of them. They do seem to have gotten over whatever the bad blood was, you know, a couple years ago, since they both got to live and they did their thing and they hashed it out and whatever. But people don't forget. Yeah. Like there still could be something that ends up unfolding today, and what that something is, it could either be, you know, super exciting for us to watch, or maybe impactful for the two of them as they're both trying to chase a major. But yeah, through two rounds, I am incredibly surprised that Bryson DeChambeau is right there. I'm not surprised at all that Brooks Koepka is there, though.
Yeah, I'm a little more surprised about Koepka, and I was just talking about this with McKee in the first block, but if he gets through this weekend looking the way he's looked, that's all I need to see. I'm all the way back into, okay, it's a major time, and Brooks is probably going to be in the mix here. This was always his MO of not needing it. He was the guy who, now obviously the Full Swing documentary and all his comments he made in there, I think wondered or gave a lot of people questions, rightfully yeah. so, about where he was. But I think with Koepka is that of all the LIV guys, he was the guy who was kind of least concerned about losing those competitive reps because he didn't want them to begin with. You heard everything he said about playing a quote-unquote regular PGA Tour tournament when he was here. So I wasn't expecting this, but I'm kind of already, so long as it doesn't blow up this weekend, I'm already back into, yeah. okay, what are his odds for a top 10 at the U.S. Open? Because I would like to see those. It's amazing how quick he's been able to suck me back in.
Yeah, Otto, everything you just said is entirely accurate. And I think the fascinating thing, the huge question mark, certainly from someone like me that follows the game intently, is that Brooks has not really changed with respect to being the guy who didn't really get up for regular PGA Tour events. Kind of the same deal with LIV, except he's getting paid a buttload more money to not really care, which is, I guess, you know, kudos to you. But we've seen two major championships since he's moved to LIV, and he's become fully healthy again. And he was in the final group on Sunday at the Masters, finished second there. And of course, he's kind of chipping away, shot 4 under par at the PGA Championship to get back into the conversation through 36 holes, only a couple shots back. And again, you know, this is a guy that we spoke about pre-tournament, and it was like, yeah, this golf course is absolutely built for major championship Brooks Koepka. This is not a surprise in the slightest. You know, he hits it a long way. He's got a lot of upper body strength that can move it through the rough. He's proven that he can win at U.S. Open venues and PGA Championship venues. And I think he's just kind of going through the motions a little bit for rounds one and two. But, you know, I would put the over-under on Brooks Koepka shooting a 67 today and maybe even pounding the under. You know, the elements aren't going to matter to him all that much. And I think if he gets 2 5-under at the end of this day, I do think that 5 is going to probably be the leading score again heading into the final round, just because the conditions today are supposed to be really, really poor. And it's going to be a grind out there. I can see someone who is farther back maybe making a climb because they're going to be done and out of this a little bit earlier. And then the guys like Scotty and Corey, and maybe one of them will get to 6-under. But still, it's not going to be one of these days where we see somebody near the top of the board put up a 3 or 4 under par and get off to the races. For Sunday, it's going to be a tight board, which should make for an exciting finale.
Yeah, that's what we like to see. There's, you know, we all love majors, but there are few feelings worse than a big time horse at the top with a 2 or 3 stroke lead, and they're going, and it's gettable conditions, and you're just watching the tournament descend into no longer being a tournament for first place. And yeah, the fact that we likely won't get that this weekend, really, really encouraging. Taylor Pendrith and Adam Svensson, the other two Canadians in the top 10 outside of Connors. I think people, for the most part, have a pretty good handle on Pendrith's game. He is big and he hits it big. Adam Svensson, I think people are a little less sure. He's got the great Twitter and IG handle, Svenny Baby. But other than that, I don't know that we know so much about him. Well, what should we know about Svensson in his game?
I would say that Adam Svensson, depending on who you ask, he probably has the nicest technical swing of any Canadian on the PGA Tour. And you could probably put his action up against almost anyone, period. Ooh. And you would say, like, this checks like every single box. And Svenny has never been one to overcomplicate anything. He has a short game coach and his dad is his coach and that's it. And it's always been that way. He was on Golf Canada's national team for a bunch of years, so he worked himself through that program. You know, Svenny has had kind of a unique journey to the PGA Tour. Winning was always so easy for him. 100 plus wins, you know, as a junior and amateur in BC, school record number of wins at Barry University, NCAA Division II. I think he won like 7 times in a season and 9 times overall. Got on the Korn Ferry Tour, won out there, got on the PGA Tour, easy peasy. Then he lost his PGA Tour card and he changed his entire approach to being a professional golfer as job. He quit drinking. He, you know, just stopped. Not that that was a problem, but he just fully decided, like, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to go to work. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to the golf course at 8. I'm going to be there till 6. And that's going to be my life. And I think that that has, losing the PGA Tour card, the first time in his life that golf was not easy, you know, inspired him to realize that, man, I gotta treat this as work. I have to treat this as a job. And ever since then, he's been playing extremely well, re-earned the PGA Tour card. And then, of course, he won finally for the breakthrough last year. And, you know, pre-tournament, again, this was the kind of guy that I said could go either way. His first major championship ever was the Masters just 6 weeks ago. And now he's back for a second major. And he told me yesterday that he's feeling way more comfortable on a stage like this. And he loves hard golf courses. He would rather play, you know, a difficult golf course any day of the week than the putting contest that we see week in and week out on the PGA Tour. So the fact that he is not overcomplicating the situation he's found himself in, he's loving the difficult golf course, and the fact that his action is so reliable, you know, add that all up and he's right there, you know, at even par, not doing anything overly spectacular, but also not making any mistakes either.
We love nice action. We are up against it, and we do have to let you go because you've been great with your time. But just in case he happens to go off this weekend and win the thing, I feel like I should probably ask you what you're expecting from Rory McIlroy. 3 over on his front 9 to start the tournament, 3 under since, even tied for 10th. What are we thinking, Stanley?
Just when you think we're out,
I know,
he pulls me back in. Quickly on Rory, you know, this is a guy, 15th PGA championship. He tried X, he tried Y, he tried A, he tried B, he tried C. And he just said yesterday, I'm just going to tee it up and I'm going to hit it as far as I can and we're going to see what happens. And that just made me melt. I think he's just going to, he had a plan. It wasn't really working. He tried something different. It wasn't really working. And he's just decided he's going to put it on a tee. He's going to fire it off. And he's going to find it, and he's going to try to see what happens after that. He was super sick to start the week. He was way under the weather. Seems to have had a lot more rest, a lot more hydration. Seems to be feeling a lot better. And who knows, he might get carried across the finish line by this local Rochester crowd since his wife is from there. But I will say, Rory, today Rory's either going to go way, way up or way, way down. But I cannot wait for the ride, Gunner. I'm excited.
Yeah, I am. I'm looking forward to it. 1:40 Eastern. You'll be on the scene. I'll be on my couch. Thanks so much, Stanley. Always, always love getting you on. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, man. Always happy to.
There he goes. Adam Stanley, golf content beast. You can check out all his work on sportsnet.ca this week. He's given great IG rundowns after the round. Whatever you want content-wise, Adam Stanley has got you covered. So quickly, just looking at things in terms of a pick for this weekend, talking about some guys with some value. Corey Connors is plus 650. It's tough here. You'd like to see him stub his toe and maybe think he'll come back to earth a little bit. As far as some of the other interesting names in there, Justin Rose is 4 shots back. He is plus 4,000. Certainly a decent number to get him at there. He's a guy who always finds himself in the mix at these things as of late. And Rory McIlroy was a guy I jumped on actually yesterday. He is now plus 2,000. So obviously you're paying a little more of a vig there because McIlroy is the public golfer that he is, but there's a reason you're paying it, and it's because he has won these things before. Just quickly, a couple last final thoughts on Oak Hills. Again, I will say it again, I love mixing in new major venues. I know this isn't a new one, but it basically is. They've redone it since we were here last. I know they're going to go to Valhalla. That was obviously a place Rory had awesome memories at. It's my favorite PGA championship memory was him driving it down Phil's throat in the dark, wearing his little two-tone Nike purple shirt, and Rory was able to get the major there. That was the you know, gusto Rory, chest puffed out, walking tall, feeling great about himself. Golf is a better place when we see that guy. It's been a while since we've seen it. And looking at other things we could see this weekend, you know, if Scheffler rips off another major, see him add to that pile. Then next week, we will get to play the favorite game with me and Sam McKee of how many majors does this guy finish at. McKee will certainly give him 4 or 5, and I'll say 2 or 3 would be a great career. So that's a little preview for next week's show. And Hovland, he's a guy I'm really, really excited to see this weekend, what happens for him. We know chipping is tough, but he's a guy a lot of people pull for, rightfully so. And let's be honest, we're all looking at that 2:30 tee time. Bryson and Brooksy, how will the crowd respond to them? And let's be honest, how will they respond to the crowd? It should be a fun one. PGA Championship will wrap up this weekend. Should it be an exciting finish? Sammy and myself will wrap it up for you with a Reacts pod early next week. I hope everybody out there enjoys the long weekend, including my man, Derek Brendeo, unlike Sam McKee, dragging himself in studio to get it done today. Coming up next on The Fan, we got Matt Marchese, where I'll be complaining about the Leafs. So if that's not a tease, I don't know what is. Get The Golf Show wherever you get your pods on, and on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.